Welcome to the official Finovate podcast with Greg Palmer. In 2007, Finovate set out to create a dynamic fintech showcase featuring live 7-minute demos. For more than a decade, our global event series has brought together tens of thousands of people from across the fintech spectrum to see cutting-edge technologies. Now you can find out what goes on behind the scenes as key influencers and innovators share the stories they don't get to tell you from stage. Here's a glimpse of what we have in store for this episode.
The way that we think about data today is kind of a byproduct of the way that we architect our systems, where data is subservient to an application. So today we kind of lose track of the fact that data actually comes from people and really does require people to collaborate.
And now your host, Greg Palmer.
Thanks for tuning in to the Finovate podcast. This is Greg Palmer. This week, we're going to turn our attention towards our Finovate Fall Best of Show winners. There were 9 companies up on stage who the audience selected as having the best technology on display, and we're going to chat with each of them in turn over these next couple of weeks. First up, we have Cinchi with Dan Demers, who is on stage for them in New York. We're going to talk with Dan about their view of collaborative data, why that's important, and why it was able to resonate with the audience in New York. So let's turn it now over to Dan and that interview. Joining me on the Finovate podcast today, we have Dan Demers, CEO and co-founder of Cinchi. Cinchi is one of the companies that won Best of Show at Finovate Fall 2019, and they did it from a really interesting angle, being a pure data play. So we're going to talk with Dan a little bit about what's going on in the world of data and how they view it and how they were able to be so successful at creating a message that resonated with our audience. So Dan, first off, thank you for joining us. And then I'll ask you to start with just kind of a 30-second overview of Cinchi.
Sure. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. So for Cinchi, which is a play on the word cinch, which means simple, our entire thesis of the company is that in the future, owners of data will have control over their data, but today they do not. So everyone's already familiar with the Facebooks and Googles of the world at a personal level in terms of kind of taking advantage of the lack of that technology that gives you that control, but there's not as much of an appreciation for the fact that that same problem plagues the enterprise, including large, mid, and small financial institutions. So today, it's really this whole concept of applications having total control over your data, and what organizations have been doing for close to 40 years is attempting to work around the fact that apps trap and silo and copy and limit how you can use your data by creating all these workarounds. So our technology really introduces this new paradigm of data collaboration, which is unique in that it actually solves these root issues to enabling organizations to not be driven by their data, but to drive their data such that they can be driven by it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it does. And I think the interesting word to pick out there is that word collaboration. You know, you describe it as a data collaboration platform, which is something that's unique. Can you dig into that word a little bit more and tell us what that really means and why it's such an important concept?
Sure. The way that we think about data today is kind of a byproduct of the way that we architect our systems, where data is subservient to an application. So today we kind of lose track of the fact that data actually comes from people and really does require people to collaborate, whether it's 2 employees inside of a bank or the employees collaborating on data with a customer or 2 customers collaborating on data or a bank collaborating on data with data partners, data providers. But because the data is so siloed and trapped behind these applications, we lose sight of that. And if you think of kind of all the expensive workarounds that are put in place to enable collaboration, so things like data integration, copying data from A to B, APIs, all these other workarounds, is if you have a native ability to enable people and systems to collaborate on data, you no longer need those workarounds. So whether you're onboarding an employee, onboarding a customer, booking an FX swap, ultimately the data is originating from one or more parties that are working in collaboration with other parties, each owning a piece of the data, whether it's owning an element or owning an attribute. So it's really respecting the fact that data comes from people at the end of the day, and people need a platform to collaborate on that.
I love that idea. That, and obviously it's true. It's a simple idea, but it's one that I think it's overlooked, that data does come from people. And one of the things which I really loved about your demo as well was the visual way that you were able to show the interconnectivity of all of the different data points coming through people and coming into different departments within an organization, recognizing that, you know, human resources plays a role when you're talking about the data around your employees and the variety of other places that organizations are able to collect data. That visualization really helps to drive that point home. And I think as a follow-up, it also makes it really user-friendly for people. And you know, based on the conversations you've had at Finovate with financial institutions who traditionally kind of struggled to make sense of hardcore data plays, do you feel that you were able to get it to a point where visually it was something that they were able to really see, understand, and make sense of right away?
Yeah, absolutely. In the earlier versions of our platform, the ability to create that network of interconnected data was always there. But once we added the ability to visualize it, all of a sudden it became real for our prospects and for our customers, to the point where I can even now explain how data should work to my children, and my 12-year-old son will actually understand it. And what's powerful about that is it truly does simplify and reflect how it actually works in the real world, which is fundamentally different than how conventional technology architects it. So the ability to see and interact with all of your data as an interconnected network, akin to the fact that you can use the single application called a web browser and interact with millions of pages on the World Wide Web, it's that same level of impact. Is once you see and experience it, it's hard to go back to a world where everything's fragmented and siloed.
Well, and I think getting it down to a level where a 12-year-old can understand it probably sets you in really good stead to make banking executives understand it, which is something, as you probably remember, I like to talk about during the coaching calls. It's true, though. If you can't explain it to a reasonably intelligent 12-year-old, you need to simplify.
Yes, absolutely.
Sort of a general rule of thumb. Not to say that banking executives operate at a 12-year-old level, although you know, you could play devil's advocate with that.
Sure.
So one of the pieces that I was really interested in as well, you know, there's a lot of people who talk about data as being fuel for artificial intelligence and machine learning, and I think that's true to some extent. But I know in talking with you before we really got on the air here that it's not just about fuel. It's actually building roads somewhere for the car to go, and that's really the step that we're at. Can you explain a little bit about that analogy? Because I thought it was really interesting.
Sure, yeah. Well, if you look at the history of machine learning, it's obviously been around for many decades. Why people are very excited about it is the advancements in computational power, which means it can now, you're able to do things that you weren't able to do before as a result. But the stage that most organizations are at is they're experimenting, they're doing pilots, they're doing POVs, they're just really getting started. It is not business as usual. And while it is very exciting, it is very promising, to do it at true scale does require a rethink on the underlying infrastructure. So the way that we think about, you know, advanced and predictive analytics and AI and ML is like we said, the concept of a car, but the world is needing the roads, the gas stations, the highways, all the infrastructure to make it actually fly. And that's what we see as the data network. It is that missing infrastructure that will enable organizations to deploy these exciting new technologies at true scale, where this is their BAU.
So now I think we kind of zoom out and you get greater appreciation for the real scope of the challenge facing financial institutions, where we're talking, you know, to kind of take the analogy to its absurd point, we're talking about building a car, finding gas for it, and building roads. And it's pretty easy to see why financial institutions really struggle with wrapping their heads around where they want to go. How do I, as a bank, get started? You know, that first step, I think, is the hardest part. Would you have any advice for financial institutions who are looking to take that first step?
Yeah, absolutely. Prior to Cinci, I used to work in a bunch of big global banks, and I was part of large transformational programs that, frankly, would very rarely deliver on the ROI at the end of it all. One of the things that I learned is to turn it into bite-sized chunks and ensure that any large-scale transformation is delivering continuous and real-time value. So it's finding a way to take, whether it's data collaboration or really any new paradigm, any new technology, and apply it to the projects that you're already planning to get done, and delivering real benefit to those projects. So a red flag for me is that when you're creating a project to take advantage of a new technology that isn't directly tied to a business outcome or a business benefit. So we always highly recommend to our customers to apply our technology to their projects. And frankly, if it doesn't cut their time to marketing costs in half, then there's just something wrong and perhaps not a good fit. But it's that enables the incremental evolution versus a big bang. So we're really talking agile versus waterfall as it relates to transformation.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really smart way to think about it as well. Something that we always recommend for anybody in a financial institution to do is to keep the focus on that big picture, that what do I really want to do, and use technology as a way, how do I get there? And I think that what you've built is a system that's really flexible, that has a lot of different potential use cases. And I know that was actually a challenge for you when you were thinking about how do I show this in just seven minutes?
Yeah.
Because it really can do so many different things. And I think, you know, for anybody who hasn't been able to check it out, I would recommend watching the video. But I think even more so, you probably need to think about it in terms of what am I looking to do? And then you can have a really productive conversation with Dan or the Cinchy team about how they can help you get there. So I saw that bell coming, which is why I kind of went into wrap up mode just a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
But that is the time that we have. Dan, pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for coming. And again, for anybody who is looking to see their technology, finnovate.com/videos is where you can go to see their fall demo. They actually demoed on stage at Finnovate Spring earlier in the year as well. You can see their demo from that show up there as well. So Dan, really interesting stuff, and good luck in your quest to build cars, roads, and whatever else we might need, the previously undiscovered hurdles that are coming in this area. You know, one of the really interesting pieces there that we almost just skipped right past was this idea of Dan explaining it to his 12-year-old kid and finding comfort there and figuring out how to explain it to a Finnovate audience as well. Anybody who's been on the phone with me doing those coaching calls ahead of the event will know I always like to stress being able to speak simply about the technology that you have, and that 12-year-old student type of persona can be really useful. So not to say, of course, that financial institution executives all have a 12-year-old mind frame or attention span, but enough of them do, to be totally honest, that it can be very worthwhile. So for any future demoers who are looking for a nugget of wisdom, here, there's one for you. Try and make it at a level where you can make a 12-year-old understand it, and you are likely to be successful. If you are interested in getting up on stage at a future event, check out finnovate.com to see where we will be next. We're heading to Dubai here in a couple of weeks, then off to Berlin for Finnovate Europe 2020 in February, returning to San Francisco for Finnovate Spring 2020, and then we're actually going to be adding a Singapore event in June of next year as well, with a new Finnovate Asia there. So again, information on all those shows available at finnovate.com. And don't forget that as a podcast listener, you are eligible for a discount code, 20% off on all future tickets with the code Finnovate Podcast. As always, thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining us on the Finnovate podcast this week. Brought to you by the team behind Finnovate and produced in association with Provoke Media. Make sure you tell your friends about the show, leave us a review on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to our show, and check out our upcoming events at finnovate.com.